to Syria now. Is a ceasefire even possible in that country? There are tentative reports that a scheduled deadline has passed with a significant cessation in the use of the use of heavy weapons and a sharp reduction in gun battles throughout the country. The government has claimed all along that it planned to comply with the United Nations ceasefire, but does it have control of its own forces, and does the opposition?
The main issue with regards to respecting this sort of decision doesn't lie really in the hands of the government in Damascus, in my humble opinion. It actually lies in the hands of the armed groups on the ground. They're very much scattered. They don't have, in my opinion, a true leadership.
That's Omar Wakaf, who's a member of the pro-government Syrian Social Club based in London, speaking with our partner, the BBC. But this opposition member is very skeptical.
I think there's no ceasefire in all of Syria, okay? Because the tanks still in the streets and the troops of al-Assad traversing all the cities. We don't think that al-Assad is serious about withdrawal from the cities, because until now, the tanks still in the streets.
That's Faris Mohammed, an opposition activist in Zabadani, again saying he doesn't accept there is a meaningful ceasefire. And this morning, we wanted to hear from the Syrian border, where people, refugees, people with family still inside Syria are watching developments closely. But as you can hear from the voice of this man, very disgusted with all that has happened. I spoke with Wasim Sabah a little earlier today.
Today, everyone is watching how the regime is fooling the world by this lie, this new lie. And the bombing is still going on in Idlib, in at the border areas, and they are just moving the troops from town to a different town.
And you've been in this refugee camp, but trying to find word of your family. Any news from your family? Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all.
Is there any way in which this ceasefire, even if it's imperfectly implemented, is there any way this represents hope for you and your family?
This is what I'm looking for, and yes, I'm praying for this to happen, but apparently it's not gonna happen at all. No.
Do you have any message for the international community about what should happen here in Syria? Should this UN brokered ceasefire break down completely?
Yes, just leave the Syrians alone. Don't give them support, don't give them help, don't give them false hopes. Just leave them alone. Let's die slowly. Let's die the way we should die.
Mr.
If he's going to kill us all, let him do it, and the story ends.
Mr. Sabah, it sounds like you have lost all hope completely here.
No, as long as I'm breathing, there's hope.
That's Wasim Sabah, who's in a refugee camp about 500 meters from the Turkish border with Syria, watching developments inside the country. And as you heard there, Wasim Sabah said that he's disgusted. Just let us die, he says, in Syria. He also spoke very bitterly about the Syrian opposition, saying he's tired of them. He's tired of Kofi Annan, as well as the regime. Joining us now is Amr al-Azam, a member of that Syrian opposition, a professor at Shawnee State University. Professor, what do you make of the sentiments of that individual who went to Syria to seek his family and has been stuck in that refugee camp for months?
Well, obviously, people are very, very frustrated, and that is clearly showing up in many of the interviews that it seems that the people that you've spoken to, and also clear in some of the stuff that's coming out and I'm hearing about the ceasefire in general. But look, remember, the Kofi Annan plan was not just about a ceasefire. The Kofi Annan plan also called for the right to demonstrate freely, the release of prisoners. Addressing of the Syrian people's political aspirations and so on and so forth. It's a 6-point plan. And whilst the ceasefire, the observing of the ceasefire, tentative observing of the ceasefire by the regime seems to be a small step and an important one in the right direction, I don't think it will hold, and I think most people think it will not hold, because it takes us back to square one. The purpose of the uprising was to topple the regime. The people will start to go back out on the streets and they'll be wanting to protest. Tomorrow is Friday. That's going to be a serious test of the ceasefire. Will the regime allow the protests out and not shoot at them? That's what started the armed uprising in the first place, the need to protect the protesters.
Now, on the question of the cessation of hostilities, Does that, if it actually is implemented for any length of time, does that deliver credibility to the United Nations? It sounds like what you're saying is the only credibility for the government on this plan is if they implement subsequent political reforms.
Well, you mean by government here the regime? Well, the regime ultimately is the target of the uprising. The regime, the purpose of the uprising, the reason why people rose up against the regime is because they wish to change it. They wish to replace it by a democratically elected government, led by the people. And the regime is not going to allow that. The whole point of going to war against its own people is to protect its own position and not allow itself to be toppled. So it's going to go back to defending itself in the only way it knows, and that is through violence. The fact that it has not withdrawn the army from the streets, the fact that it has not released any prisoners, all indicate that all it's doing is that it could well be that the ceasefire is to its advantage because they need a break, they need a breather. The regime forces have been under a lot of strain, running around from place to place to defend their position.
Wassim Saba, who spoke with us earlier, you heard part of our conversation. He spoke very bitterly about the Syrian National Council and said, I've had it with them. They're corrupt. It seems that he was echoing some of the criticisms you have had on some occasions with the Syrian National Council. Is that a prevailing view among Syrian people?
I think amongst many people, yes. I mean, unfortunately, the Syrian National Council, or SNC, has done very little, has been very ineffective in terms of helping either bring about international intervention or actually doing something for the people inside, on the ground, in the camps, and so on and so forth. And that is all they seem to have been preoccupied is with acquiring international recognition, which is important but should not be the ultimate purpose of such a council. The council is totally lacking in leadership, or at least demonstrating the necessary sort of leadership needed to take this revolution forward. But that's not a great concern, really, ultimately, because the legitimate opposition is the one on the inside. It's the young men and women who are going out protesting every day, facing death every day, and actually taking the casualties. The rest of us outside here are sitting in the comfort of our own homes, So we're not as important.
True, but to respond to, again, what that fellow Wassim Saba said, just let us die. He's going to kill us all anyway. Do you respond at all to that sentiment of a feeling of really having given up?
I mean, I'm sorry to hear Saba say that. That would certainly not be my sentiment. If I wanted to let the regime kill us all, I wouldn't have risen up. In fact, people would have just carried on living the way they were before the regimes, before the uprising, and without dignity. But I understand his frustration. People have been waiting for months and months and months, over a year now, for somebody to come and help, for the international community to intervene in a meaningful way to actually enforce and force the Assad regime to stop killing, and it hasn't done that.
Patience running out in Syria. We're speaking with Amr al-Azam, member of the Syrian opposition and professor at Shawnee State University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.